Okay, we're going to be starting a series. Now, I knew it's summer, and the sun, I know, doesn't go down till late. However, I know you don't want like a four-hour sermon. So I went ahead and broke this down. This whole entire passage really is 1 through 13. It's talking about prayer. So we're going to be doing a series. We always do a series, don't we, Noah? A series on prayer. Tonight, we're just going to be looking at verses 1 through 4, like we already read. And we'll be talking mainly, focusing in on the content of prayer. Okay? But before we get to that, we have to get and deal with a contextual issue. A lot of times in the Gospels, especially what we call the Synoptic Gospels, which in the Greek it just means with the same eye. Okay, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John kind of does its own thing. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke share a lot of the same stories. Well, Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew here in a minute. Matthew talks about the Lord's Prayer. This is what we call this instruction. And it's a lot more robust. Okay? So, and Luke is kind of short, sweet, to the point. You guys notice it kind of seemed weird. Those who know the Lord's Prayer, you're like, wait, that doesn't end like that. Wait, there should be more to that. Okay? Now, I've read a lot of commentaries on this, and what they point to is they have a lot of reasons for the possibility of the different, the discrepancies, I guess is what I'm trying to say. However, if you just simply, without getting to the Greek, which I love the New International Greek Commentary, I love it, Ray, you know what I mean. What it does is it breaks down everything, and it tells you every Greek word. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's one of my favorite commentaries. And even they kind of got lost in the thing about, well, you know, there's this source text. You guys might have heard me talk about it before. It's called Q. And what they say is somebody wrote a gospel called Q, and Luke and Mark are based on that. Okay, they have a lot of the same writing. So they're talking about, well, Q said this and Q said that. You know, we don't even have to go to Q for this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Keep your finger in Luke because we're coming back. Matthew chapter 5. This is why it's important to read your Bible, guys. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Hopefully you guys are there pretty quickly. It's the first chapter in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Seeing the crowds, he, being Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit." Continued on. Okay, that's the context for Matthew. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. So, he sees a lot of crowds, he goes up on the mountain, and he sits down, his disciples come to him, and he starts to teach. Let's flip over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and if you have the verses of Christ in red, which I don't, this would all be red, because this is all Jesus talking. This is all his one teaching here. And if we look at Matthew 6, 5, it says, "And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward." Look at verse 4 right above it. "So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." What is Jesus doing here? He's teaching on a lot of things, isn't he? Where is he teaching? Where is he at? You guys remember from chapter 5 I just read? On the mountain. He sees a lot of people, waits for his disciples to come to him. Everybody sits down. He starts teaching. And he just teaches, and he teaches, and he teaches, and he teaches. And people are going like, holy mackerel, this guy is teaching. I mean, chapter 5 through 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. We get the Beatitudes from that. It's crazy, right? Now, flip with me to Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples came to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.' And he, being Jesus, said to them." Is this the same instance? It's not, is it? Is he on a mountain? No. Is his disciples coming to him? One is. Is there a great crowd of people here? Is this even the Sermon on the Mount? No, see, look, this is one of those by-the-wayside teachings. See, here's the deal. If you've ever been, if you ever heard like a traveling speaker, if you ever heard like a comedian, it could be a Christian comedian, and you've heard his little spiel and he goes around the country, if you hear in one city and then you go to the next city, you're going to hear the what? Same jokes, right? Okay, so Jesus is doing a teaching, isn't he? Whenever he teaches on prayer, he's going to give maybe the same teaching, you think, that he did before. But is it going to be in this exact same way? Well, maybe not, because he's teaching to a big crowd. And here, one of his disciples, this guy, we don't even know who he is. Where are they? Is that important, Noah? No. It's not, because he doesn't tell us, hey, he's somewhere. Okay, what is Jesus doing? He's praying. So you see, one of his disciples is who the disciple is important, Noah? No, it doesn't tell us who it is, right? So some nondescript disciple came up to Jesus as he was done praying and said, hey, Jesus, can you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples? We're not even in the same context here, are we? It's not the same story. It's another instance. This disciple may not even have been with him on the Sermon on the Mount. We don't know this. So you see how there's not a discrepancy here? If you just read the context of what's going on, there's no difference. Jesus is simply stating it in another way. Okay? So, I always have to deal with contextual issues. Never run away from them. Investigate them. Because then you find out, wow, hey, that kind of just works out. It really does. I've never found one that I couldn't sort out. So, okay. And I don't have to do great, you know, constructs to do it in. We just saw, hey, this is not even the same thing. They're not talking about the same thing, even though he's teaching on the same subject. So this disciple, he wants to know, hey, how do you pray? I see you praying all the time, Jesus. How do you pray? I know John taught his disciples to pray, and maybe he taught them. We don't know anything about that. Maybe he taught them a certain way to pray. Maybe he gave them a certain formula to say. Okay, the Jews had formulaic prayers. They had prayers that you would say before you ate a meal, after you ate a meal, before you read Torah, after you read Torah. They had long, huge prayers that you would just memorize and you'd just recite. Okay. So maybe John had a formula, and maybe that disciple just kind of wanted to know. Maybe he was there at the Sermon on the Mount, and he wants more of a one-on-one lesson with Jesus. So Jesus doesn't say, don't bother me, kid. He doesn't say, you know, didn't I already tell you this? Didn't you write that down at the Sermon on the Mount when I did that one big teaching? No, he just starts in and just says, doesn't even question, just goes, okay, that's how Jesus is. He's the teacher. And he goes right into it, and he says to them, meaning all the disciples who are with him, when you pray, say this. Okay? Now, before we get into any more of the text and start talking about the content of the prayer, what do you think of when you hear the word prayer, when you hear it used, like I've been talking about prayer a lot, but what do you word associate when you think prayer? Let's do some like out loud brainstorming. What do you think of when you hear the word prayer? What does it mean to you? Okay, talking to God. Very good. That's probably a classic answer. Does everybody agree with that? Anybody got anything different? We're going with talking with God. Communing with God? Is that what you said, communing? Sorry, my hearing's not so good. I thought you said commuting with God, and I'm like, catching a train with God? I don't think Noah said that. Communing with, yes, okay, yeah, yeah. You're a give and take with him. Very good. So we're on the same page as prayer. So this disciple wants to know, hey, Jesus, you communicate with God all the time. We want to know, how do you communicate with God? Teach us. Okay? I remember before I was a Christian, I knew how to pray. My mom told me how to pray, and I prayed before I went to bed, and it went something like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord, my soul to take. Pretty nice, right? So to me, being a non-Christian, that was my connection to God. So when I would get scared at night, guess what I would do? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I'm blah, 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 blah. You're over and over and over again because I was scared. You hear a noise, a bump in the night, a shadow. You're like, I'm a little kid freaking out, right? That, to me, was a prayer. We also had a meal prayer. I don't exactly know how it was. You know, some people would do it afterwards, after they ate. God is good, God is great. Thank you for the food I ate, right? And these little recitations that we would say. And somehow we're thinking we're communing with God. Or one of the things that I like is, you know, bless the food. Well, you're not really anywhere commanded to bless the food. You're commanded to give thanks for the food you have. So you're like, Lord, can you bless this food here? Woo! You know, turn it into superfood or something like that, right? You should be thanking the Lord for the food. In that sense, we'll get into that in the model of the prayer. So would you like to know how to communicate with God? Thank you, Noah. Yes. That was presumed. Zach's like, I don't even have to say this. You already know I want to communicate with God, right? Or maybe he already knows how to communicate with God. We all want to know how to communicate with God. It's a big deal. So sometimes, because he is God, we want to get, you know, all dressed up, put on our Sunday best, get a pomp and circumstance, give very lofty words, and, you know, be known. Jesus talks about this that I read in Matthew. He talks, he says, you know, the hypocrites want to be known for the many words, and like, yes, thusly, Lord, I say it to thee that, you know, I request from thee, and I seek an audience from thee, or something. And they notice how they always use the King James, a lot of people do, whenever they pray all of a sudden, they're using Elizabethan language, like God can hear only in Elizabethan, or something like that. It's kind of funny. I can say that because I got saved when I was in 11th grade, so I was a non-Christian for a good portion of my early life, so yeah, those are things that we just think about. You just snap right into it, and you just think, verily, verily, that's how Jesus speaks. He speaks in Elizabethan. So, getting back to our text. Jesus, starting to teach his disciples to pray. And in turn, can we learn something from this? We have to remember, sometimes the author is writing to a specific audience, and sometimes there are factors that only apply to the audience. Other times, we can look at it and say, well, you know, that also kind of applies to us. So do you think, Zach, learning how to pray would be applicable to you? Yeah, okay, it's applicable to us. So we've already said that, moving forward. Okay, he gets right to the chase. He says, Father, hallowed be your name. Now, buckle up, because we're going to go through this slowly. It's four verses tonight, guys, okay? Anytime I do a small amount of verses, you can go like, oh, no. We're going to go slow. Yeah, that's okay. Father, who is he praying to? Who did Jesus say to pray to? When you pray, say this. God the Father. Now, one of the things we have to realize is that Jesus never said, pray to me, did he? Can you think of a verse where Jesus says, pray to me? No, he said, pray in my name. He always says, pray the Father in my name, in my name. Why do you think he would say, in my name? Or why do you think in the end of our prayers we tack on, in Jesus' name, amen? Okay. Sure. Tradition. Why else? Okay. Nice, Andrew. Jesus said to. Nice. Well, notice the next phrase. He says, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name means holy be your name. May your name be revered. May your name be holy. May it be set apart. May your name be special. Not just the name, though. Because if we look and we talk to Eli and we say, well, Eli's name's pretty special. Don't use his name. Don't use a derivative of his name. Make sure you use Eli. I mean, we don't really have an instance like that, do we? Other than God, we say don't take his name in vain. Do we say don't pervert the name of something? I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. But this is one thing Jesus said is don't pervert God's name. Make his name be revered. Make his name be special. Make his name be holy. Hallowed. That's what the Elizabethan means. It means make it holy. Okay, hagiadzo is the Greek word. Make it be holy. Holy is your name. And it's more than just his name, God. We use that kind of generically today. It's more than just that. It's not just God. It's not just Father. What it is his reputation. It's his character. It's his nature. It's his influence. Okay? All of that. It's his presence. That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, take God's name, take his reputation, take his character, take his influence, take his presence and treat it special. Make sure you treat it special. And going back to that word Father, that's where we get the Aramaic Abba. Who knows what that means? We run to him crying, Abba, Father. Now, I was reading in the NIGTZ, which is the New International Greek something commentary, the one that I like, okay? And it was saying it doesn't necessarily, Abba doesn't necessarily mean daddy. You might have heard people say that. But it doesn't necessarily mean father either. It might mean, because daddy is a little too juvenile, but father's a little too kind of aloof and weird, okay? It's maybe more like dad. Like, I think that would be kind of safe. Because, you know, even when you're older, you're going to call your dad, dad. But if we saw Eli running up saying, daddy! Zach would be like, oh, you're still calling him daddy, huh? Whoa! You know, it's a little too juvenile. But dad is a safe thing. I have an intimate relationship with this gentleman. He's my dad. Okay, so that's what it's really, he's saying. Pray, hey, dad. I really, 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 really think your name is cool. I really, really like who you are. I really, really think you're special. So that's what Jesus has said so far. Then he moves on. He says, your kingdom come. Hey, dad, not only is your influence and presence cool, I like the way you do things. I like the way you help people. I like the way when after something bad happens that you're always there to comfort somebody. I like the way you're there to pick people up and not kick them when they're down. I like the way you came alongside of me. I like the way you were there for me. I like the way you saved me and you don't judge me whenever I'm coming to you and I'm saying I'm sorry. You wrap your arms around me and say it's going to be okay. Hey, Dad, I like that you do that for me. I really do. Is it making sense? Your kingdom come. Your ways are cool. Hey, I want to see some angels. I want to walk on streets of gold. I want to be where you are. I want to see the things you see. Those 24 elders that are casting down their golden crowns upon the crystal sea. Crazy. I want to be there. That is awesome. I don't want to have struggles. We'll get to this. He talks about that. I don't want to have to. I want to be where you are. I want to have what you have. Because it's awesome. I want your kingdom to be here. He goes on to say, give us each day our daily bread. Hey, God. Just like, hey, Dad. Let's keep going on the metaphor here. Hey, Dad. I remember, I read the story in Exodus when the kids of Israel were running around doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and you, like, made it rain bread. And they would go out, and whoever collected a whole lot of bread never lacked any, okay? They had more than enough. It just somehow fed everybody. And whoever didn't collect that much, they never ran out. It was just enough. However much the head of the household thought he should collect, that's just enough. And if for some reason it was too much, because you always had enough. You couldn't eat it the next day because it would spoil. God said, no, 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 throw that stuff out. Throw it out. You're going to go out the next morning. And the only time you're going to keep it, you're going to gather a double portion is on a Friday night, because the Sabbath you won't gather. I won't make it rain. It's not going to rain bread, guys. You're going to go out on Saturday, you're going to say, hey, where's the bread? God said, hey, I already told you. Make sure you gather enough for Friday. And of course, they never ran out, but some dummies went out, if you read Exodus, and they went out, hey, where's the bread? And Moses is like, do you guys not listen to what I say? You know, I stand up here a really long time, and I really try to make it clear. And, you know, I said no bread would come, but what, did you not believe me? I mean, heck, did you not see the wonders in Egypt? I don't get that personally, but I know that if I was a kid of Israel, I probably would maybe be curious about that too. I don't know. Sometimes we give the children of Israel too much of a hard time because we don't really see what we're really like. You know what I mean? We say, I would never do that. And, you know, the next day we're doing that exact same thing. We didn't even know it, right? Right? So this is what Jesus is saying. Hey, Father, remember what you did for those them dare kids? Hey, I'm praying that you're going to provide for my every need too. I have sustenance needs. I have to eat like every 8 hours. Some people, every 3 hours. Okay? Some people who are on a diet every day, once a day, okay? But nonetheless, we have this problem. We eat and we're satisfied, but a little while later, we're going to grow hungry again, aren't we? We have this constant need of nourishment. We have this constant need of having water, liquid to drink. We have this needs. So, have you ever heard a commercial from the Union Gospel Mission? Have you guys ever heard one of those commercials? What I found very interesting, when I hear those commercials and they interview somebody who's actually being helped out, this one guy in particular that I remember hearing, he just kept talking about how much food there was. He kept saying, you know, I go there and there's enough food, and if I'm still hungry, I can go back for seconds. And it was just really great that they had enough food. Because when you're homeless and you have no food, all you can think about is your next meal. And that really was profound to me. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I don't have to do that. If I want my next meal, I go to the cabinet or go to the store, or go to the pantry. What do I got in here? I don't feel like any of that cool stuff I have in there. I probably should go to the store and get some snacks. But somebody who's in a position to where they're homeless or don't have enough money to provide for themselves, they're thinking about that next meal. Jesus is telling this disciple, hey, ask Dad to provide that next meal for you. Ask Dad to give you that daily ration of food. Ask Dad to give you that provision that you need. You know, those needs you have. Dad will give it to you. So you should ask him. Verse 4, forgive us our sins. You know, Dad, we also got a problem. I have a sustenance problem, okay? I need to eat. I need to eat and I need to drink. But I have another problem. I have some weaknesses. I mess up from time to time. And I need somebody to kind of make me, you know, say it's okay whenever I come to him and apologize. I need somebody to forgive me because I'm not perfect. Dad, can you forgive me? Can you please forgive me? I'm really sorry. I did this one bad thing, even if I knew I should have done it, and I'm really sorry for it. Will you please forgive me? Because you know, Dad, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. For Dad, we know what you're like. And we know we're supposed to be how you are like. And I really want to be how you're like because you're just so cool. You forgive, like I said before, you pick me up when I'm down. You're everything that is good and perfect in this world. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That's in James. I want to be like you. You call me to forgive. You forgive me. I'm supposed to forgive too. And I really want to be able to do that. So can you help me out? Can you help me out, Dad? Can you help me forgive? Because I got a problem with messing up. And guess what? So does everybody else. And finally, the most controversial, and lead us not into temptation. Now, this had me looking all over the place because this is one of the most controversial statements in the Lord's Prayer. What do you mean, lead us not into temptation? What is that supposed to mean? I thought James says that God tempts no man, but he's led astray by his own desire. Jesus is telling me to ask our Dad, who is in heaven, not to lead us into temptation. Well, let me tell you what this is about. After doing a lot of study in the Greek, and going to Kittles and kind of reasoning it through, I'm like, okay, I think I got a grip on this. Now, you tell me if you agree with me or not. That's okay. You're right to your, entitled to your opinion. But you know what I thought? Lead me not into temptation. It's like, you know, Lord, please don't put me anywhere near anything that I have a weakness for. You know, I have this sin nature, and I am weak. I get really weak, Lord. Sometimes I just really want to do the wrong thing. So please don't put me near that, because I'm going to fall. I need you to help me here. Can you be strong for me, Lord? I have a weakness, and I'm admitting to you what you already know. You know I have a weakness. But I'm telling you, and I'm recognizing this, I got a weakness. Can you please protect me from this weakness? It's just us coming alongside and agreeing. Every one of these things is agreeing. First of all, this whole structure, this whole content of this prayer is what it's saying is it's exalting God to his proper place, and it's bringing us down to our proper place and recognizing that. All too often, we don't think of God in a high position. We think of what we need. Hey, God, I'm going to throw up a prayer real quick. And we do our request. Okay? I got some Bible verses here that I want to give you to prove my point here, what I was saying. Let's look to Mark 14:38. There's Matthew, Mark, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Mark 14:38. Mark 13:48, this is where Jesus is praying, and he's about to be betrayed. Jesus says this to the three disciples that are with him, Peter, John, and James, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation, because the spirit indeed is willing, but what's the flesh? The flesh is weak." We're weak creatures, aren't we? Let's look at Luke 22:40. We're kind of giving it away here because we're in the book of Luke, and we'll eventually get to Luke 22, but that's okay. The pace I'm going, it'll probably be next year, and y'all probably graduated from high school. So Luke 22:40. "And Jesus said, and when he came to that place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray you may not enter into temptation." So do you see what I mean whenever it says, "Father, lead me not into temptation"? He's saying, hey, I don't want to fall into temptation. Hey, my spirit is way willing, but my flesh is way weak. Hey, Dad, look. I don't know if you know this or not, but I have this problem. Okay? And I need your help on this. So if we're going around any sweets, can you please just help me out here? I need your strength in this area. That's what that means. Lead me not into temptation. God already knows it. We're just recognizing our weaknesses. So this prayer, this content of prayer, what it is doing is exalting God and to his position and bringing us into our proper position. Because, guys, left alone long enough, we're going to be like, dude, I'm cool. Dude, I got all this together. Dude, Jesus died for me. I'm cool. Our flesh rises up and we think we're good. But, you know, every second we need Jesus. We're given his righteousness, and it's by the blood of Christ that we are able to go before the throne, that we're able to run and call, Dad! Dad! It's through the blood of Christ that cleanses us. It's his righteousness that he's given us every second, and it's still nothing that we have done. It's still all him. So Jesus is saying, look, you need to recognize that. You need to recognize the needs you have. You need to recognize the weaknesses you have. And that the Father, that Dad, can provide those for you. You see, if you start to pray like that, do you see just something all of a sudden revolutionary happening? Before you know it, you're actually talking with God. I know you're surprised at that. But you're actually talking with him instead of talking at him. Oh, God, I need somebody to help over here. There's a forest fire. I need you to put that out. Put that out and be with those people. Hey, God, Andrew needs something else. Can you help him? Hey, someone needs healing over here. God, do this. Hey, God, can you do that for me now? Hey, God, do this. God, do that. We're going to go down and we're going to hand out tracts at the lake. God, just make sure everybody gets saved. And we're just like, oh, God, do this. God, do that. We're speaking at him the whole time. You know, I don't like it when my children come into the room and speak at me. I like it when my children go, hey, Dad, what's up? Or my kids call me Papa. I think Gabby still kind of calls me Papa. Al has rebelled and now he calls me Dad. Or sometimes he calls me Father. I'm like, I am Papa, man. I am not just some dad. I am Papa. Which went a little weird with my father-in-law. Because he is, he's Grandpa, right? But he wants to be called Papa. So you try to figure that out as a three-year-old. Papa and Papa. Papa, Papa. It was a mouthful. But they got through it. They were strong. When they come in, I like them to say, hey, Papa, how's your day? Hey, you want to go get some snacks? Last thing I want them to do is go like, hey, go to the store. Get me some Doritos. I'm like, wait, hold on. Is that any way to talk to like anybody at all? But isn't that how sometimes we just talk to God? We get in that frame of mind. We go, we're about ready to pray. We just maybe sing some cool worship songs. And then we start to go, reaching for my list. Okay, Father, I have these needs. I have these requests. I have these things that I want you to do for me. And you're a good God, and you're a gracious God, and you're a merciful God, so get at it, buddy. And Jesus is saying, hey, look, man, you need to give Dad, spiritual Dad, some respect. I mean, you have a relationship with the creator of the universe. You get to run to him and call him Dad. That's the right of a Christian. Those who believe are given the right to be called the children of God. Would you say that's a pretty big deal? See, because in the last day, some people will come up to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. I think that's Matthew 26-ish. Okay, the parable of the goat and the sheep, they separate them. Depart from me, I never knew you. But didn't we do all these things in your name? Yeah, but I didn't know you. You weren't my kids. You were busy being religious. You never came about and believed in what I did for you on the cross. We have this special right to call the God of the universe Father. And Jesus gave us that right by being brutally beaten and hung on a cross to die. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's tragic, but it's cool because he was resurrected, right? Yeah. And when people appeared to him, he said, you know, hey, check out the palms of my hands. Would you go ahead, stick your fingers in my hands. Go ahead. Hey, Thomas, you want to stick your hand in my side. Whoa. Whoa, Jesus. Sorry about that. Sorry, my Lord and my God. Holy mackerel. When does things become real for you? And this is what Jesus is saying. See, this is what prayer is. Talking to God is what Abby said earlier. Communing with God is what Noah said. We don't want to talk at God. We want to talk with God. Wouldn't you like that? Your best friend comes over and all of a sudden just starts telling you how their day was. And they're telling you, and they're telling you, and they're telling you. And then you're about ready to say, well, my day was, boom, and then they change the subject. Oh, yeah, I saw this movie, and then they start telling you about the movie, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, okay, that's good. And then they start telling them, you know, like, all the other things that they want to do in their day, and the things they want to get, and pretty soon they're like, well, hey, catch you later. And you're like, thanks, man. Glad I was here for you, okay? Anytime, you just need to talk and, like, have me not do anything. We wouldn't like that, would we? You have a best friend because you have stuff in common. You talk. They're happy to hear you talk. They talk. You're happy to hear them talk. You just want to be around them, by golly. You know, you want to hang out with them. It's cool. And that is what Jesus is saying. Hey, guys, you might see me go over here and pray. That's what I'm doing. I'm talking. I'm having a relationship with the creator of the universe. I'm having a relationship with our spiritual dad. So you want to learn how to do that, oh my disciple? Let me tell you what you should do. Now, If you want to, you could memorize this. I would probably recommend memorizing the Matthew one. It's a lot more detailed, okay? This is brass tacks, okay? Nothing wrong with it, but it's very brass tacks, very down to business. If you're going to memorize and do a rote prayer, do the Matthew one. It's nice and full and flowing and nice and cool. And there's some value to that. If your heart's in the right place, if you're one of those people that just like form and function, and I know who you are because I'm kind of like that, and you, whenever you're saying that, you actually can put some meaning behind it, awesome. If you're one of those people that sit up, stand up, sit down, say this, say that, okay, we're done, not even thinking, mindless, that's what happens in a liturgical service. People get mindless and they don't worship. Maybe you shouldn't do the rote memorization. As a matter of fact, I would say, don't just memorize it. So what does this mean for you? I kind of went down and broke it down and explained it and kind of put it in layman's terms. But what would happen if you were to pray like Jesus prayed? That's what happens when we take it and we translate it into what it is for us. But if we're going to actually put it into practice, we have to kind of use our imaginations a little bit, don't we? Let's close our eyes and think, what would happen if we prayed like Jesus told us to pray? What would happen if we used this way? Well, I'm going to tell you. I wrote some of this down. So I wouldn't forget. All right. In our conversations with God, as I said earlier, wouldn't it be a good thing to slow down? Wouldn't it be a good thing? I mean, I would love it if Gabby came in and said, hey, Dad, how's your day? And not go like, well, you know, oh, that's good. What? I need money for Silverwood. Okay, so you don't really want to hear how my day is, right? She's never done this. I'm just using her as a scapegoat tonight, and she's been really cool about it. Okay. I really want, if she comes in, I really kind of want her to take an interest. She's my daughter. I love her very much. It makes me feel really good whenever she likes to hang out with me and wants to know how my day is. I want to know how her day is. That's why I ask her. It's kind of a cool thing. When you slow down. Because sometimes we think, well, we're going to be religious today, and we're going to pray to God. And we, before we go to bed, we do the now I lay me down to sleep thing, and we're good to go. And maybe we do the God is good, God is great, thank you for the food we ate. Or maybe you're going, thank you, Father, for this food we're about to receive. Bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Boom, we're done. And we just go through these rote memorization prayers, boom, 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 and never really have a conversation. I'm saying we should, and we need to slow down. Slow down. Take some time to actually enjoy who you're talking to. Wouldn't that be cool? Just like that best friend. Just like that best friend, you want to actually, whenever you tell them how your day went, you want them to actually be listening. You ever tell somebody that and you like their eyes glaze over? I have a friend who's done that to me a couple times. And I start going like, and then my arm fell off. And, oh, wow, that's cool. You're not even listening, dude. Okay, or you just stop in the middle of like this, you know, climactic story, you know. And I reach the top and all these zombies. Well, hey, that's cool. So anyway, you're like, oh, okay, you weren't even listening to me, right? So with God, you want to take down. You want to slow down, take time to enjoy your time. You want to tell him how much you care for him. Okay, now I modeled this basically on everything that I talked about earlier that Jesus said in this prayer. You want to take time to tell him how much you care for him. Hey, Dad, you're pretty stinking awesome. You know that plan of salvation you had where you sent your son down to die for me? That was the best. I mean, you know, I walk through a garden and see how awesome that is and see how pollination happens so I can get tomatoes later. And I see the beauty of the sunrise. And all those were stinking out of sight. But your son dying for me so I can be called your kid, Dad, that was the best. You're stinking cool. If you can remember, if you've been a Christian long enough and you've prayed and had answered to prayer, Start recalling to mind all the cool things that he's done, all the answer to prayer. I remember I wrote down a prayer one time, and I asked that there was a super typhoon Robin coming for Jacksonville, Florida, and that's where my in-laws were staying. So I prayed, Lord, please let this typhoon just, they can dissipate, they can turn, they can do all sorts of stuff. I said, I don't even care, just don't let it hit Jacksonville. And then I actually wrote this down 2 days later. I normally don't write down what happened after I prayed, but this is one of the cool things about journaling, which maybe I should do more. But nonetheless, I wrote down that, hey, Super Typhoon Robin turned into a tropical depression. That's like the severe opposite of a super typhoon, okay? And it kind of just turned into just like this nothingness. Little wind, little rain, poof. And I was like, cool. Now, did God really turn a super typhoon into a tropical depression just because I prayed? Heck, I don't know. But you know, I prayed. Maybe he did. So I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. That was stinking awesome. I prayed and that happened and okay, cool. Maybe you did it because, you know, a lot of people prayed. I don't know. But I started recalling those things to mind. Mind you, you don't want a laundry list. You want a sincere appreciation. Like you're talking to somebody. You just got to remember this. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to the creator of the universe now. I'm telling him how great, how awesome he is. Next, you want to picture how life will be like when his kingdom is here. It's gonna be cool. I have a muscle disease. I am looking forward to running and running and running and running some more and then running again and then just keep running and running and running and never getting out of breath. I'm looking forward to picking up scorpions and playing with them. You guys didn't know that. That's in the Bible. Okay. I'm looking to pet a lion. Who wants to pet a lion? The lion will lay down with the lamb. Dude, I'm looking forward to this stuff. This is going to be cool. I start picturing how it's going to be like. God tells me it's going to be like this. The tree of life, I want to see that thing. Have you guys ever seen Lord of the Rings? And you see Khalas Galathon, you see the place where Galadriel comes and it's like, oh, all the singing. Oh, okay. And you're like, oh, this is so awesome. I mean, look, that place has got nothing on where the tree of life is going to be and the Lord is going to be there. There's going to be no need for a sun or a moon because the light of the Lord will be the light that sustains us. And the leaves of the tree of life will be given for the healings of the nations and the kings will come and prostrate themselves before the Lord. All Revelation 21, 22 stuff, you guys can read this. And that's how it's going to be. And you're just like, dude, this is going to be that way forever. There's going to be no more strife. There's going to be no more envy. You're not going to see one world leader trying to off another world leader. It's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be perfect and awesome. Start picturing that. And start saying, dude, I am so looking forward to that, God. I'm so looking forward to that, Dad. Your kingdom come. You see what I'm saying? Your kingdom come. Thank him for what he provides for you. You know, Lord, I am very thankful. I own my own house. I have 2 cars. You guys probably can't say that, your students, but you can probably be thankful for the things you have, the things your parents have, the food you get. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of needs that you can be thankful for. If there's a physical need, let him know. This is your time. Thank you for providing for me. But Lord, you know, I have this other need. This thing cropped up. I have this disease, this bad thing happened, whatnot, so forth. Can you please help me out? And also start praying for others because, you know, God's character is one that you would actually want to be like him. Put others first. Other people need healing. Other people have struggles. Start lifting those up to him as well. Next, thank him for saving you. Ask for forgiveness when you act as you shouldn't. We know when we screw up. We know when we do stuff we ought not do, smack our sister, punch our brother, take another otter pop when our parents aren't looking. Okay, we know when we do something that we shouldn't, and even stuff that I'm not even mentioning, some really bad stuff. We know. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to be truly sorry. We need to understand what that does to God. All of those things cause Jesus to have to come down and die for us. Sin is a very big deal. It costs a lot. It's like You know, you think it's funny to egg somebody's car till you realize that it destroys their paint job, and then you're like, oh my gosh. And then you all hope and think, hope I don't get caught. Right? I had some friends who did that whenever I was in high school. They went off and egged a bunch of cars. And I'm like, dude, that destroys the paint job. My dad told me that. I don't know how my dad knew that. Okay. He just told me, don't ever egg a car. They went into the rich area and egged Jaguars and stuff like that. Is that not lame? I'm like, dude. And they were like, oh, crap. Hope we don't get caught. Oh, crap. You know what I mean? It's like, God's like, dude, I died for that stuff. Come on, man. That's not cool. See sin for what it is, guys. And whenever you actually, like, let the remorse come, let the change happen. When you start to let it become hardened, that's not where you want to be. Okay? Ask him for strength to be like him and also to forgive others. When someone eggs your car and they come and they actually have the guts to do what you didn't do and own up to it and say they're really sorry, forgive them. Why? Because dad would forgive them. Why? Because they're remorseful. Okay? Finally, share with him all of your weaknesses. This is a hard thing for some of us to do. All the things that we're afraid of. All the things that we've done. All of the things that we know deep down inside that if we were to let out, people would be like, whoa, I am so not hanging out with that dude anymore. He's creepy. Right? All those deep, dark things we think about. Let God know those things. Now, God can read your mind, so if you're afraid of people overhearing you when you're praying those things, fine, just tell them in your head, okay? But nonetheless, tell him all your weaknesses. Let him know. So when you can pray, lead me not into temptation. Go like, hey, Lord, that's a red flag. I shouldn't be watching Netflix at night when no one's around. Shouldn't be doing that. Me, it's like I shouldn't be left alone with donuts. Okay. I have a gluttony problem, in case you guys don't know. I'll just throw that out there. That doesn't mean that I give you permission to police me when I'm going for my second donut. Okay, that's between me and God. But I am working on it. Okay. But nonetheless, I'm going to ask God, hey, you know what? I got candy in my office. Can you help me out here? And he may actually say, you know, put in your head. You know how you have a conversation with God and these impressions get put in your head? Am I the only person that has that happen too? A thought comes back. Well, maybe you shouldn't keep it in your office. Yeah, but come on. It's a locking cabinet. So I've been pretty successful. A lot of candy in my office. I'm pretty good. But nonetheless, let God know all your weaknesses. So you can really pray, lead me not into temptation. I got these weaknesses. I got these struggles. I got these problems. Be real with him. Talk with him. And next thing you know, you're not throwing up a three-minute prayer. You're looking at your watch going like, dude, it's been a half an hour and I've been talking to God. You're like, dude, my prayer time, I'm going to have to get up way early because I'm talking to God too much. That's not a bad thing. You're like, oh, no, I'm going to be late for school. You know what, good? You can talk with him on your way to school too, because guess what? He can read your mind and you can just keep praying in your head. You know, Paul says pray without ceasing. I just told you how to do that now, okay? You're praying in the shower. You don't have to be like, dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Daddy, I love you so much. Be like, you know, keep an ixnay on that. You can just be thinking that, okay? You can read that. And when you can, pray out loud, because sometimes it's beneficial for you. Because I found sometimes when I'm praying in my head, next thing you know, I'm like, yeah, man, Batman's cool. You know? And it's that's my ADD. I'm like, psh, whoa, focus. God is awesome. Sorry about that, Lord. Don't know where that came from. Okay? Need to focus. So sometimes praying out loud keeps me on task. Okay? Have a genuine conversation. Jesus was telling his disciple, this is how you should talk to Dad. Have a conversation with him. There's a certain format that he kind of gave, and all that format does, like we talked about, is elevate God in our eyes. Slow down. Elevate God. What has he done? How awesome is he? How cool is he? And we stop and go like, oh, okay. And we start to put ourselves in perspective and start to go like, I'm not as good as God. That's okay. God still loves me, but that's cool. I have some needs. I have some vulnerabilities. I have some weaknesses, but he's covering me. Okay, you're putting yourself in your proper position. Have a conversation with God. So, you know what's coming now, right? What am I going to say? Thank you, Eli. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now, I ask you to close your eyes so you remove distractions, okay? How is your prayer time with God? How often do you pray? What does it look like when you pray? If you were to video it, and play it back to yourself, would you be happy with the way it turned out? I want you to take a few minutes to think right now about how Jesus' way of praying can actually help you have a really good conversation with the Father, with Dad. Wouldn't you like that? I want you to make some time to pray this way, if you can tonight, but definitely tomorrow. Give it a shot in the morning. Give it a shot when you get home. Try it out. This is what Jesus wants for us. Remember, guys, this stuff is real. It really is real. At the end of all things, you want to stand before God and be able to give a good account. You want to have a good relationship with him now. So give it a try. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for just who you are. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as you came down and you not only modeled the life that we were supposed to live, perfected the law, fulfilled the law, you came and died for us, but you taught us all these cool things about God and about the Spirit and the Father's ways. Thank you for pointing us to the Father. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. We just so appreciate all that you do for us. Help us to have a conversation with you this week. Help us to mean it. Help us to take some time to think of who you are, what you've done for us, how you sustain us, to exalt you properly, and then to put ourselves in our proper place and just have a really good conversation with you, Father. Remind us. We thank you and love you in the name of Jesus.